While you're turning there, let me say truly how great God is. The half has never yet been told. Never yet been told. The majestic glory, the beauty, and the majesty of our wonderful God. I marvel at His grace and His mercy. Brother Doug, put that. And His mercy that He has for sinners like you and I. You may not think you're a sinner, but you are. There's only two kinds of people in this world. You still ain't got it, Brother Doug. I got it. There is sinners. Then there are saints who were only sinners that are saved by grace.
Amen.
And that is the only difference. I'll tell you the difference between a saint and a sinner is one word, grace.
Amen.
That's all. That is all. And I marvel at God's amazing grace. I'm glad Brother George sang those thing, Amazing Grace, again tonight. And I mentioned one time, I forget, I was preaching a meeting somewhere, and about the third night, every song they sang, they'd leave out the third verse. And so about the third or fourth night, I said, well, I said, I might as well say this, it's on my heart. I said, I'd hate to be the third verse of every song in this church, but you'd be left out of everything that went on.
Amen.
And no, I don't like to leave out verses in songs. I like to sing them. Amen. That's right. And wonderful old hymns of the faith. Well, 1 John chapter number 2, and I want to begin reading in verse number 12. John writing here, and he says, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known Him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known Him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the Word of God abideth in you.
Amen.
And you have overcome the wicked one.
Amen.
That's a tremendous two verses in the Bible. 13 and 12, 13 and 14, three verses in the Bible. Wonderful three verses. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I'm thankful tonight for the good singing we've enjoyed and a good time of fellowship. I pray now, Lord, that You'd breathe upon Your Word and upon Your servant and upon the hearts of Your people, that the Word may be dear and precious to us all. Lord, that we might expound it with power, with grace and mercy, and with rightly dividing the word of truth. I pray You'd help us tonight to say everything that would bring honor and glory to Your wonderful name, and refrain from saying anything that would sow doubt in the hearts of people, or, Lord, would cause our brother to stumble, or, Lord, anything that will not magnify You. I pray for power, liberty, and unction. I pray You'd save sinners tonight. No doubt there's sinners here. There's people here tonight who are still in the bondage of sin, the gall of bitterness, and without God, without hope. I pray You'd save them. I pray You'd revive our church. We need an old-fashioned revival. May You breathe upon us, Lord, and move our hearts to Thee. As a songwriter said, help us draw near unto God, knowing, Lord, that You will draw nigh unto us. Bless now and provide the liberty that's needed and the grace. Help every heart, every home, and every family. And we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated tonight. I want to read verse number 12. Again, will be our text verse this evening, where John, the beloved apostle, the beloved one that leaned upon the Lord's breast in the upper room,
amen,
and he that was one of the three in the inner circle, you might say, with our Lord, was with the Lord in Just about every scene that we have in the Bible, Peter, James, and John were there with the Lord in that scene. And he says, I write unto you. Now you can just put that down, that this is the reason John is writing. He's not doing this just to take up space or to blow off hot air. He says, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you. And the reason they are forgiven you is nothing that you have done, but for His name's sake. And I want to take that and preach for a little while tonight on the thought of just forgiven. I said this morning that everybody in this room is either forgiven of their sin or they're still under the load and the condemnation of that sin. There's only one way that a sinner can escape the condemnation of sin. And by the way, a man that dies in his sin will spend eternity in hell. I make no apologies for saying that. It's an absolute fact. And people need to be warned that there is a literal hell. We live in a generation, a society of people that most of them are denying the Bible, everything in it. And some of them claim to be theologians. I've learned that they're no more than lost religious reprobates that would twist the Bible to please the people and make folk feel good. Well, I want us to rejoice over the fact we've been saved, but I'm going to tell you there also comes a time when we as God's children need to scrutinize our own hearts and examine ourselves whether we be in the faith or not.
Amen.
There also comes a time to warn sinners that there is a hell to shun. Now, I want to say to you, it's not a pleasant place, ladies and gentlemen. It is not a pleasant place. Hell is a reality. It's a place where their worm dieth not, and the fire shall never be quenched. That's what the Bible says. It's a place of eternal darkness. And there's no escape from that place that we call hell. But John's writing here to these that he calls little children simply because their sins have been forgiven them. He's quite sure of that their sins are forgiven them. And he's been confirmed that, I'm sure, in his heart by the Holy Ghost when he wrote this. The Holy Ghost, by the way, moved on men as they penned down the Word of God. And you know that, but I want to remind you of it. You can just take that to the bank. This book is not a book of fairy tales and myths. It is the Word of God. It's infallible and inerrant. It is the Word of God. And men, as they were moved by the Holy Ghost of God, they wrote it down, and that makes it infallible, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. God used them to pen the Bible. Now, what a truly amazing thing the forgiveness of sin, our forgiveness, really is. We sung that song, Amazing Grace, and I'm telling you, forgiveness is something that is amazing. By most people, it's something that is taken for granted. Even those that have been to Calvary, a lot of us, if we're not careful, we'll let our hearts get in such a backslidden state that we'll just get a little careless and really forget what it means to be forgiven of our sins and how truly amazing thing that it is. And I'm going to tell you the reason we do that is because we fail to consider the sinfulness of man and the holiness of Almighty God. People today don't like to sing, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. But may I say to you on the authority of the Word of God that we were all a wretch before we were saved. And the songwriter hit the nail right on the head. And he said that about himself, by the way. And he said it in reality and truth. Now, people today do not like to be identified as a wretch or a wretched person. Paul wasn't. Paul said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" He said, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Amen. Paul wasn't ashamed to be called a wretch. So when you consider the sinfulness of man and the holiness of God, then we've got to come to the conclusion that that forgiveness is truly an amazing thing. The thought of God forgiving us should cause us to stand in awe. It should cause us to reverence Him in a holy way. It ought to cause us to rejoice in our heart, knowing that that guilt and that condemnation is gone, and that we are forever the children of God. Amen. And that a thrice holy God Himself, the great Creator, would do that for you and I. Oh, the marvel of the incarnation of God. Amen. That God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. The marvel of that incarnation. And it ought to cause us to stand and praise God. God help us. May God have mercy on us. We've forgotten that we're sinful, God's holy, and God has forgiven us of those transgressions. I believe we just take time to think and consider some things in our heart. We'd have no problem standing up and lifting our hands up to Him who is worthy of our praise and thanking Him for the grace and the mercy that has been bestowed upon us when He forgave us of all, A-double-L, all of our sin. I'll say a little bit more about that in just a minute. Don't want to get ahead of myself. Sin is a transgression of God's law. Never one of us have transgressed that law. It's affronts to God's holiness. And it's rebellions against His exalted majesty. What a marvel that God, does not deal with mankind as He did with the fallen angels. Amen. Here's what He said about the fallen angels in 2 Peter 2:4. He said He has delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. Amen. There wasn't a second chance for angels that were created in the presence of God. There was no second chance for them whatsoever. But oh, blessed be the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. When old Adam fell, God already before the foundation of the world had set in motion a plan of redemption, ladies and gentlemen, whereby man could be forgiven and redeemed of his sinful state and nature.
Amen.
What a God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Somebody ought to just say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's weak, Brother Jerome, but I'll take it. Now, forgiveness may be defined is that judicial act of God whereby the penitent believer is released from the guilt of his transgressions against the law. God has released us.
Amen.
We're lawbreakers.
Amen.
Anybody in here ever been in court? It's an awesome thing to stand before that man with a black robe. But I'm here to tell you there's coming a day. When all sinners, ladies and gentlemen, who have never been forgiven of their sin, will stand before one, not in a black robe, but in a robe of white. And I'm telling you, there will be no escape from the judgment bar of God. You can write that down in your book. And it will be an awesome thing for a man or a woman to have to stand there under the guilt and the load of their sin. It's not a matter of whether they can be saved or lost. They're going to hell when they appear there.
Amen.
You may think it's a trivial thing, but no man has ever stood, friend, at the judgment bar of God yet and listened to the crimes against him pronounced, and you'll have no defense.
Amen.
I'm glad, Sister Hall, that right now I've got a lawyer. I've got an advocate. His name is Jesus Christ the righteous. But on that day at the judgment bar of God, there will be no advocate, no representation, and there will be no plea bargain, and it's guilty and charged.
Amen.
So we've all transgressed the law of God. But we've been released from that. Without receiving any satisfaction at His hands. I mean, we didn't have to do anything to satisfy God.
Amen.
When God saw the travail of the soul of the Son of God, then He was satisfied.
Amen.
I dare any man or woman in here to stand and tell me what you did.
That's right.
To satisfy the righteous demands of the law.
Great.
No man but one has ever satisfied them. Jesus, our great high priest, our Redeemer, our Savior. Amen. He is the one that said, I came not to destroy the law and the prophets, but to fulfill them. And that's exactly what He does. Amen. And when He died, all the ordinances that were against us were nailed to the cross with Him as He forgave our sins. Now, there's no satisfaction at our hands or no inflicting of any punishment upon us. That's what forgiveness is. No punishment. Isn't that a marvel? Somebody said, well, I don't really see that I deserve to be punished. Friend, you've never been convicted. I'm going to tell you what old time conviction will do. It'll hang you out over hell and make a believer out of you. Make you realize that you ought to be in hell and you're deserving of hell. Oh, a man tells me, oh, I was good enough and I don't deserve to go to hell. I'm not going there because I'm better than that. Tells me that you have never been under old time Holy Ghost conviction where the Holy Spirit of God has hemmed you up in a corner and the sentence of judgment has fell upon you and God's pronounced it.
Right.
Now, I'm glad I got that way one day and said, Lord, oh God, have mercy on me. And He pointed one way, the cross. Thank God for Calvary. Thank God for the cross. It was there that I found forgiveness of all my sin and was washed in the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Thank God. Anybody can get saved anytime they want to. Now listen carefully. No punishment. I'm not going to hell. Saved folk are not going to hell. We're not going to be banished from the eternal presence of God. You know what hell's what's going to be the hell of hells? No God there. No God there. At least sinners in the world today experience some degree of the presence of God through the people of God. But there'll be no God there, ladies and gentlemen. Come on in the house. You can hide your mind from what I'm saying, but you can't hide your heart from God. Amen. Now, it is a remitting of the penalty which He had incurred. It is a revoking of the sentence of justice and the acquittal of the person before the bar of God. Now, notice how John addresses these people. John addresses these people as those he is writing to. He addresses them as little children. Little children. My little children. I write unto you, little children. My little children. Here John both expresses his authority and his affection. He calls them little children. And by the way, he is writing, I've said this, under divine authority. And he is writing with divine affection. He's trying to help them by telling them that their sins have been forgiven by nothing they have done but for His name's sake. And he says that with authority, and he says that with affection. I can stand here tonight before you and say, praise God, if you've been to Calvary, that your sins have been forgiven. And I can say that with all the authority of the King James 1611 Bible, hallelujah, that tells me that. And I want to say it with a little affection if God let me, if I can. Because I'm going to tell you, I'll show you why here in just a minute. Show you why in just a minute. It stamped his address with weight and dignity, and at the same time revealed the warmth and the love of his heart. Amen. He begins this letter over in chapters 1 and 2. He begins this letter by declaring that the blood of Christ, the Son of God, cleanses them now from present sin. Come on in the house now. Everybody stay with me. Don't leave me. Now from present sin. From present tense. From all sin. He then shows them how this brings them into communion with Christ and the blessing and the benefits and the privileges that eventually it produces and follows it. But oh, I'm going to tell you, it's not that way here. This verse, he declares how their sins were completely taken away.
Amen.
They're gone.
Amen.
They're completely taken away.
Amen.
It's not just a matter of present tense sins now, but it's sins in the past, sins in the present,
yes,
sins in the future.
Yes.
Your sins, dogmatically, your sins, all your sins.
Yes.
All your sins, all your drinking, all your cussing, all your gambling, all your adultery, all your whoremongering, all your sins have been taken away.
Yes.
For His name's sake, all of them, gone.
Yes.
Not just present tense,
right,
but once and forever. Somebody say amen.
Yes.
And they were in their individual persons pardoned. You know, salvation is a personal thing.
Right.
Thank God I can tell you that I'm pardoned.
Amen.
Forgiven. It does a whole lot for me.
Amen.
It may not do much for you.
Right.
But if you ever get it, it ought to do something for you. Somebody say amen right there.
Amen.
If you ever realize that God loved more than just the world, and God loved more than just the church.
Amen.
That God loves you like you are, as you are. God made you like you are.
Amen.
And He loves you just as you are, friend.
Amen.
His creature, hallelujah to God,
amen,
not only loved us, but set His affection upon us.
Amen.
Come to earth and died for us.
Amen.
Amen. Rose again for our justification. Amen. And forgive us of all, A-double-L. All our sins. Now I'm fixing to get to a little something here I want to preach, so just hang with me. I'm still in the introduction. Don't leave me. We also see by what divine authority that this is accomplished. It's because your sins are forgiven for His name's sake.
Amen.
Not anything that we've done. We also see the divine assurance this gives a believer. Now, here's the part I wanted to get to. I'm going to try to help you right here if you listen. The grand design of the gospel ministry is assuring and comforting of the saints of God.
Amen.
For the work of unbelief. Now, here it is. The work of unbelief is always present around us.
Amen.
And friend, it is always working in us.
Amen.
We can talk big talk if we want to. But I'm here to tell you that the devil will make sure,
amen,
that there's doubts of unbelief sown in your mind and sown in your heart. But remind him that he is a liar and he's the father of lies. And everything he speaks of himself, for he is a liar from the beginning and abode not in the truth.
Amen.
Anybody listening? And that unbelief is always present within us.
Amen.
Satan is constantly engaged in efforts to destroy or at least disturb your peace.
Right.
Somebody said, oh, he never has disturbed mine. You are a liar.
Amen.
I say that without any reservation,
amen,
at all. I don't know too many people whose peace has never been disturbed just a tad bit.
Amen.
Over doubts of unbelief. Well, did I really repent? Well, did I really believe? Well, did I really get saved? Did I say the right prayer? Toss your right prayer. Salvation is not in a prayer. It's not in a plan. It's in a person. Hallelujah to God. And He said your sins are forgiven for His namesake. I'm talking about that person.
Amen.
Friend, I'm going to tell you, that order, hey, John said, hey, no, I don't want you to doubt.
Amen.
I want you to live in peace.
Amen.
I want you to live in tranquility of soul and life. I don't want you to be in chaos all the time, wondering and worrying about whether you're in and whether you're out. It's like that fellow that wrote Charles Spurgeon one time. He said, Dear Mr. Spurgeon, I've got a question. I'm wanting to join your school, come to your Bible college, and I've got a question before I make a commitment. He said, I'm really having a problem knowing whether I'm one of the elect. Spurgeon wrote back to that gentleman and said, sir, and he said, I want you to tell me whether I'm in the elect or not. Spurgeon wrote back and said, sir, you've asked a question that neither you or I, either one, can answer.
Amen.
But he said, this one thing I do know, Amen. That you are a sinner.
Amen.
And Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. I'm telling you, lay dumb and quit worrying about whether you're in the elect, whether you believe, whether you have repented. I'm telling you, He said in that Bible that your sins are forgiven for His name's sake.
Amen.
He's writing that to those little children.
Amen.
If you haven't believed, what are you doing here tonight? Go on home. I want to say to everybody in here, if you don't really believe, go on out. You used to get drunk. Go out tomorrow and get you a bottle of booze and get drunk. Go on. Go honky-tonking. Go dancing. If you can, go on. Somebody said, well, preacher, I can't do that. That's the point I'm trying to get across to you. The thing that I would, that's the very thing that I can't. The thing that I can't do, that's the thing that I would do. Amen. He's talking about saved folk there. I just cannot do the thing that I would. That old fleshly man says, oh, you'd really enjoy a good night out. And the spiritual man said, you know you're saved.
Amen.
I can't do those things.
Amen.
The love of Christ not only constrains me, but the Holy Ghost on the inside restrains me.
Amen.
I've got a restraint from sin, friend.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah to God. Hey, when He forgives you your sins, He gives you the Holy Ghost that will restrain you from living in sin. A man that does live in sin has never been forgiven. He's like a hog that goes back to the wallowing in the mire and a dog to the eating his own puke. Amen. That's right. Somebody said, well, he lost his salvation. I'm not a stinking Armenian either. I'm a Baptist. Amen. Y'all didn't like that too well, did you? Now, it don't matter to me. I don't care really whether you like it or not. I am a Baptist. Now, I'm not Armenian. I believe you got the goods. You ain't going. You didn't get saved and then go back to the hog mire. The hog pen. I read where the prodigal went there once. I'll never read where he ever went back. That whole chapter is given over to salvation. The lost sheep, the lost silver, and the lost son. They were all lost, but thank God when they were found, you don't ever read where they were ever lost again.
Amen.
I'm telling you, a saved person whose sins are forgiven cannot be lost because their life is hid with Christ in God. Amen. Come on and help me. Praise God, you're about to kill me. Now, stay right with me. Therefore, the person and the work of the Christ should continually occupy our hearts, that we might be lifted out of ourselves and delivered from our fears. Now, I'm going to tell you what. Most people begin to doubt and lose peace when they get away from Christ. Amen! Those whose minds are stayed upon the Lord are those who have peace. You start thinking about everything under the sun. See if you won't lose that peace. The devil will slip right in between you and the night you got saved. And he'll do his best. He'll do it. Now listen to me. Everybody in here saved probably got a night, a time, a place. The devil will do everything he can do to run you beyond that place. But I've learned in the years I've been saved, he cannot run me but so far.
Amen.
And when he runs me back to September the 13th, 1970. That's where the brakes go on. I'm not running any further than that. Amen. He'll try to run you back there. Drain you of your peace. Your contentment. But John's writing with authority, with affection, reminding them that their sins are forgiven for His name's sake.
Amen.
Now, the forgiveness of sins is likened to so many things, and I can't spend all night on these. But the forgiveness of sin is likened, number one, to the removal of them.
Amen.
He removed them.
Amen.
The Bible said in Psalm 32:1, blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven. That is literally lifted up.
Amen.
Taken off the sinner and laid on Christ. That's exactly what happened.
Amen.
The chastisement of our peace was upon Him.
Amen.
And our sins were laid upon Him. Oh, when God forgive you, He took your sins off of you. Removed them from you. And laid them upon the Son of God.
Yes.
He bore in His body our sins and our iniquities. All the way to Calvary. Died there. Carried them into a tomb and left them in a Sadducee's grave.
Yes.
Now Sadducee don't believe in a resurrection. So they ain't coming out.
Yes.
When God removed them, He don't go behind the closet. You know what I told about there a while ago? They was talking about the politicians. And I said, you let Miss Oprah come on out for Mr. Obama. Because if she comes out pretty strong, Miss Hillary's going to see to it that some, if there's any trash back there, Miss Hillary's going to drag that trash out. And I'm gonna tell you all something you may, hey, you don't believe this, but there is some skeletons in all of our closets. Including Miss Oprah's. Because there's none perfect. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. And if there's a skeleton back there, and they are, I'll guarantee you that one of her opponents will drag it out. Mark that down. But God, don't ever drag any skeletons out of the closet. Woo! He removed them and laid them upon Jesus.
Amen.
And by the way, by His stripes, we're healed. Come on, sinner. Won't you just come to Him right now?
Amen.
He loved you enough.
Amen.
He was made to be sin for you.
Amen.
Now, I know we don't like to hear this.
Preach.
And I'm saying this as reverently as I know how. But He was made to be all sin.
Amen.
Amen. Even for the whoremonger and adulterers.
Amen.
The liars. Amen. The thieves. All of them alike.
Amen.
He was made to be their sin. He took your place on Calvary.
Amen.
He died for you and as you on the cross. And forgave you of the death, the sin, all of it that you had.
Amen.
Why tarry? Why wait? Flee to Christ. Lay hold upon eternal life. Why die and go to hell? Flee to Jesus tonight and lay hold upon eternal and everlasting life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, it also, forgiveness of sin is likened to the covering of them. He said in the same verse, Psalm 32:1, whose sin is covered. You know why I think God used these various things like covering? Whose sins is covered. You realize sin is an abhorring thing to the eye of God. He can't look upon it. So He uses that metaphor, cover it. He can't see it. It's gone. He removed it. Then covered it. We ain't going to stop there. And then forgiving of sins is like non-imputating. He didn't impute their iniquities. He said in Psalm 32:2, blessed is a man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. That is, they are no longer reckoned to us because they have been placed on His account.
Amen.
We had a debt. How would you like to wake up in the morning and your telephone rang? I mean, it tickled me pretty good to wake up in the morning. Somebody say, from Community First Bank, say, Mr. Hall, this is so-and-so Community First Bank, and you know your mortgage used to be up here with us. No, ma'am, my home is mortgaged, you folks. No, you owed the debt, but somebody just come in and paid your bill. Now, I'm going to tell you, I get right happy over that.
Amen.
Yes. And don't sit there surprised, you would too.
That's right.
Yes. Amen. You know you would. If somebody called you and said, hey, the debt you owed, somebody paid all your bills.
Amen.
What a relief.
Yes, sir. Amen.
What a load be gone.
Amen.
What joy fill your soul.
Yeah,
but I'm telling you what John is telling them is, you had a debt you couldn't pay, but he paid the bill for you.
Yeah.
When you had nothing to pay with, thank God he paid it by his own blood.
Amen.
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 Thank God. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
That ought to make a dead Presbyterian, yeah. A dead Baptist too. You can go ahead and shout. You started to. Why'd you quit? Well, you got me on that, Brother Jerome. Then he uses a cancellation. Forgiveness is like canceling our debts.
Amen.
It's like the bank calling you and saying, hey, I know you owe this mortgage, but we're just going to cancel it. Just cancel it. Cancel it out. Somebody said, where do you find that? Well, I found it in Matthew 6:12. He said, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. He canceled all your debt. Every one of them. It's the washing of them. He said in Revelation 1:5, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And can you get a hold of this? That's not talking about something that is... It's talking about an actual act. Spiritually, when God carried you to Calvary, he washed away your sins literally. Not just judicially, but literally.
Amen.
Washed them away. They're gone, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
They're forgiven. They're not just under the blood. They're gone, thank God.
Amen.
Now, here's the thing of it. Listen carefully. He removed your sin. He covered your sin. He didn't impute your sin. He blotted out your sin. He canceled your sin. He washed your sin. Now, I love this one. Then he forgot where he put them. He said, their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more.
Yeah.
Now that's wonderful. Where they at, God? Have no idea.
Right.
Now we can kind of joke about that. But God don't just fill up space in the Bible.
Amen.
Right.
He said, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. He said, I'll write my law in the tables of their fleshly hearts and their... Tonight, their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. You'll never have to worry about standing before God and Him pointing His finger in your
Amen.
Face.
Thank God.
And charging you with anything.
Amen. Amen.
They're gone, folks.
Amen.
Once and for all, they're gone. Hallelujah. I look back over my past life. No wonder I said we stand in awe and marvel at the grace of God, how He forgives the sins of a sinner. When I look back at where I was, how deep and far gone in sin, away from God, a hater of God, a blasphemer of God, filthy mouthed, ungodly. Oh, but yet He loved me. Yet He loved me and come down into that ditch where I was, Brother Doug. And by grace, He lifted me out of the muck and the mire and the filth of sin. Removed it all. Covered it all. Refused the imputed against me. Canceled it out.
Amen.
Laid it upon Himself and carried it away.
Amen.
In fact, Brother Steve read in the Sunday school hour, for this very thing was the Son of God manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil.
Amen.
What a God. Now, I'm going to ask you something. Do you think that that's talking about a maybe thing, or do you are a thing in the future, or do you believe he's destroyed the works of the devil?
Amen.
They're destroyed, folks.
Amen.
That Bible is plain. The book of Genesis. It said the devil will bruise his heel. It said the Son of God's going to bruise his head.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Woo! Thank God he might have got a little stone bruise.
Amen.
But I'm telling you that on the cross, the devil got a big hickey on top of his head. Ajax won't wash off.
Amen.
Now, I thought little Jonathan over there had a big hickey on the back of his little head today. It's a big one. Still there? But he had one. I'm talking about he fell back there in the classroom, son. He had a knot back there bigger than a goose egg, boy.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, it'll go away eventually.
Amen.
But that bruised head of the serpent,
that's
in the weakest hour of his, what appeared to be the weakest hour of his life, he set his foot on the head of the serpent.
Yes.
And bruised the head of the serpent and destroyed his works, that you and I might have the forgiveness of sins.
Amen.
Amen. We ought to act like they're gone too. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Halamashande. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Glory. Praise the Lord! Bless His name! Amen. Now, amen, Joe Bob. Now I've got 3 points in the message and I'm done. I've already preached them. It's just 3 points. There's no sub-points. The forgiveness of sin is free.
Amen.
Whoopee!
Amen.
That little old boy got saved and didn't been saved a week. Got on in the church and everybody was doing like me and Brother Jerome, hollering, praise God, hallelujah, glory to God. And that little boy didn't know what to say and he just jumped up and said, hot dog!
Amen.
Praise God. That's right. Free!
Amen.
Who wouldn't want life free?
Yes.
Paid for. Now to somebody else's pocketbook.
Yes.
Listen to what Paul said in Ephesians 1:7. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. Our redemption and recovery cost us nothing. And since it is by grace, it is also undeserving. It's free.
Amen.
Don't believe me? Read Romans. Paul said it's a free gift.
Amen.
But the gift of God, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life.
Amen.
Through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our Lord. Now, and I want you to hear this. God did not forgive us partially.
Amen.
Partial forgiveness would not shed glory on the blood of the Lamb.
That's right.
Partial forgiveness would do the blood an injustice. Oh, so the blood can't completely get the job done. Oh, yes! Once and for all! By the way, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission.
Yeah.
And get this, if you think Brother John didn't know what he's talking about, Luke in his great commission in the last chapter of Luke said that and forgiveness and remission of sin should be preached in his name. Beginning at Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Repentance and remission of sin. Repentance and remission of sin. In His name. None other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. John Gill said, no, I'm ahead of myself. I got really ahead of myself. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I got really ahead of myself. I'm almost beside myself. Our redemption and recovery, none deserve it. I didn't get ahead of myself. For thus saith the Lord, He said in Isaiah 52:3, ye have sold yourselves for naught. You shall be redeemed without money. You know what that verse is saying? He's saying, you sold your soul for nothing.
Amen.
You sinned and it will profit you nothing.
Amen.
Not one thing. So, for nothing.
Amen.
Out of your pocket, you shall be redeemed. Luke 7:42 said, when they had nothing to pay, He frankly forgave them both.
Amen.
Woo!
Amen.
Whatever God does in our salvation is to glorify His mercy and out of compassion for our misery. Somebody said, I wasn't too miserable in my sin. I was.
Yes, sir.
I was a miserable wretch.
Amen.
A slave to sin, couldn't you?
That's right.
Lord, I promise you, you just let me sober up this time, Lord. I promise you I won't ever do it again. Lord, if you just get me out of jail this time, I promise I won't ever do it again. I don't know how many promises I broke to God. But it never did get the job done.
Amen.
Huh? I'm going to tell you, when He came along, it made all the difference in the world. Hallelujah to God. You better believe it did. Amen. I was miserable. So were you. I want to say, secondly, divine forgiveness is not only free, it's full. It's full. It's not partial. I've already said that, but I want to say it's not partial.
Amen.
Isaiah said in Isaiah 55:7, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon.
Amen.
Not just a little bit. All of it.
Amen.
Abundantly. Y'all remember what Elliot Smith said when he was here in 96? He said, ever how far you were out in sin is how far God will take you back into grace.
Amen.
Woo!
Amen.
Hallelujah!
Amen.
Somebody said, you don't have much text for that. You ought to read that in Luke 7. I just read to you a little while ago. Jesus asked old Simon, said, who's going to love me the most? Him that I've forgiven little or Him that I've forgiven a lot? Simon said, I guess Him that you've forgiven the most. He said, you've rightly answered.
Amen.
I was in sin over my eyeballs.
Amen.
But where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Now, I may have been in sin over my eyeballs, but I'm in grace beyond measure.
Amen.
John Gill said, His atoning sacrifice, that it reaches all sin, original and actual, secret and open, past, present, and future.
Amen.
Secret sin. Actual sin. Original sin. Sin you were born with. Sin nature. Actual sins you commit. Secret sins. Sins in your heart that nobody know a thing about but you.
Amen.
Thank God the blood reaches farther than the stain of sin is gone, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
It's full. It's free. And a man would be a fool not to accept it.
Amen.
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 I'm closing right here. Forgiveness of sin is final. I've heard people say, are you saved? Yeah, matter of fact, I got saved again last month. You got done what? I got saved again last month. Again? got saved again. Anybody here ever heard him say that? If you spit and it's a little off-colored, they label you as you got lost again. I'm not even talking about chewing tobacco. I'm just making a reference. Holding around here, it dips. Stuff's nasty. God's hip rock your mouth out and everything. It's final. Paul said in Romans 8:33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Verse 34 says, who is it that condemneth? It's God that justifieth. Who can lay anything to the charge of God's people, God's elect? No man. Because it's final. If it could be done, the devil would have done it a long time ago, because he is the accuser of the brethren. But don't you go out here and let some slick-tongued Armenian tell you that you can be saved four or five times. You know their problem? They do not believe in the sufficiency of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can tell them, I said that, I make no apologies for that. If it's got the power to save a man, sure to God, it's got the power to keep a man. Nothing weak about it. It's free.
Amen.
It's full.
Free.
It's final. It's irrevocable.
Amen.
It goes beyond the law of the Medes and the Persians, folks.
Amen.
Let me read you this verse. Some of y'all need to hear this.
Amen.
Some of you have heard it. I believe I can find it here right quick. Give me just a few minutes. I believe I can find it. Proverbs 3:14, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever.
Amen.
Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it, that men should fear before Him.
Amen.
You're not going to lay anything to the charge of God's people.
Amen.
What God does is final. What God says is final.
Amen.
And He said, these things write unto thee, little children, because your sins are forgiven.
Amen.
For His name's sake. Irrevocable. Never repealed. Can never be charged again.
Amen.
Divine forgiveness is permanent and continuous, because of the everlasting value and validity.
Amen.
Of Christ's blood.
Amen.
Bless His wonderful name.
Amen.
Let's stand together.
Amen.